Well, I'm thankful that Brother Rob is with us tonight. Brother Rob Pelkey is an evangelist and a pastor. Pastor is Mount Zion Baptist Church in Sellersburg, in Indiana. That's on the other side of the river, if you're not sure where that's at. But we're thankful to God for him and the ministry he's had. Brother Rob and I have known each other for a long time. Thankful for the ministry he's had with us here at Eastern Gate in Bible conferences and revivals through the years. And we're delighted, Brother Rob, that you're here to share the Word of God with us tonight. Thank you, brother.
I mean, amen. And got a little bit of time on me since I was here last, but I see a lot of faces that I remember. And we love you. We love you, Pastor and Teresa and the family. What a joy to be back at Eastern Gate. And I know you've prayed for us, but continue to pray for us as we try to deliver the message tonight. I realize that this is a critical hour in the life of the church and a difficult season. After prayer and consideration, I just really believe that where God would have us to go is back in the book of Exodus to start. Okay, Exodus. Chapter 28, Exodus chapter 28, and I'll just be honest with you. It is very, very important that you do your best to really pay attention and to get with understanding what the Word is saying. Now I do, like most preachers, have a tendency to repeat myself, but that's because I've been out there myself, and it helps me, all right? But be that as it may, I want you to look with me for our text, two places in Exodus 28. We're looking at Aaron, the first high priest, okay? And this is what the Lord told Moses, "And take thou unto thee Aaron, thy brother, and his sons with him from among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. And thou shalt make holy garments for Aaron, thy brother, for glory and for beauty." Because Aaron would not just be a priest, he would be the high priest, okay? You're aware of that. Thou shalt speak unto all that are wise-hearted, whom I have filled with the spirit of wisdom, that they may make Aaron's garments to consecrate him, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office. And these are the garments which they shall make: a breastplate, and an ephod, and a robe, and a broidered coat, a mitre. And the mitre is the hat, okay? And we're going to pay special attention to that in a moment. A mitre and a girdle, that belt to hold everything in place, and they shall make holy garments for Aaron thy brother, and then and his sons in the priesthood, that he, especially Aaron the high priest, may minister unto me in the priest's office. And if you go to verse 36 now, "And thou shalt make a plate of pure gold, and grave upon it, like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace, that it may be upon the mitre, upon the forefront of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead, that Aaron, the high priest, may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead, that they may be accepted before the Lord. This is as Aaron went into the Holy of Holies before the presence of the Ark of the Covenant and the Shekinah glory of God coming down upon the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat between the two cherubim, if you're familiar with the tabernacle, and many of you probably are. But the big thing here, that while he's in there, it would be always be on his forehead that they, that is all the children of Israel, may be accepted before the Lord. Our Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit would help us to gain the very sense of these passages and this truth tonight that would be pleasing to you and would be helpful to our hearts tonight. And I pray indeed that you will meet needs that maybe we didn't even realize we had. And I pray you'll bless and edify your church and glorify your Son and have your way in all of our hearts now. I pray you'll forgive this preacher where I've sinned against you in thought, word, or deed. Thank you for the precious blood of Christ that cleanseth us from all sin. And Lord, we are totally dependent upon you as we get into the message. Now, please grant us that divine assistance and that holy unction from heaven to make it where the word might reach not just ears, but hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We're looking at that mitre. And remember who Aaron is now. Aaron is the high priest, and he's the first high priest. And the problem was as time went on, the high priest got old, and another high priest had to take their place. Our high priest, the Lord Jesus, amen, he ever liveth to make intercession for us. Amen. And he doesn't have that problem. He lives forevermore. Amen. This man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he's able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. I want you to see in verse 36 that there's a plate. We're talking about it's a gold leaf, but it's no doubt it was rectangular, and it was as pure as gold could get. All right, malleable. It was beaten down into a fine plate, and then was cut to form to fit exactly on the forefront of the hat of the great high priest, because he represented the Lord Jesus Christ. He was the picture of Christ, our high priest. And apart from Christ, we would have no hope of ever being right with God and ever coming into God's presence. But Aaron was not holy in himself, okay? And so this was a representative holiness, all right? And but watch this now. It was that gold plate in verse 36. Make a plate of pure gold, and then gold is most of the time represents divinity or deity, or we would just say God. All right, that usually stands for God. All right, just like the. Just like the Ark of the Covenant itself was overlaid with gold, it was a shittim wood on the inside, perhaps a picture of the humanity of Christ, and then the deity of Christ, and all in one, it became the furniture of the Ark of the Covenant, and where God would meet with man, amen? And I don't want to get into all that typology and whatnot, and I want to do as little speculating as possible, but there's some things that just jump out in this passage, and I want us to see it. And I hope that God will assist us in that. And on that gold plate, which represented God's holiness, all right? Because what they were to do, those artisans that God chose, were to engrave, okay, or grave that on that plate, they were to grave upon it like the engravings of a signet, holiness to the Lord. Okay, and it was carved in there. No, it was engraved in there for permanent holiness before the Lord. And engraved in order for clarity, to make it legible where it could be seen. And so what we're looking at with that gold plate is clear, sure, permanent holiness in one who is divine. Amen. That's the Lord Jesus Christ, the real high priest that this was a picture of. And we're talking about the eternal holiness of God in the person of Jesus Christ, and he is the holy Son of God, no question about that. And now we've got permanent holiness in our great high priest, and this is what's pictured here. And it was to be upon the mitre, which is the hat, which is the uppermost. Okay. It's going to be the highest there in verse 37, upon the mitre. And it is to be upon the forefront of that mitre. It's tied on with that lace of blue, all right? And it's right there at the forefront for high visibility. Amen? For high visibility, holiness unto the Lord. Holiness, to be seen before God. God sees the holiness of my high priest, the Lord Jesus, and he accepts me. And it was also to be seen by man as Aaron walked about and came out of the Holy of Holies and the holy place and into the outer court. It was seen before man, and I see it now, and I see the holiness of my high priest, and I know that God accepts me. Amen? Because he is my representative before God. He is my holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen? And all right, now as we move forward with this, so that engraving of holiness unto the Lord is for our acceptance. It's his holiness, all right, that stands for our acceptance before God. And it is his holiness as our high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ, for our encouragement, his holiness unto the Lord and before God in our behalf. And it is for our assurance. Thank God we've got a wonderful high priest, amen, who is God the Son, and his holiness is our acceptance, our encouragement, and our assurance before God. Now, something interesting, if you go on to verse 38, which is where we're headed, and it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron, this is an interesting statement, I want you to chew on it with me, that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. What? That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things, which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts. Are you thinking about it with me? And it shall be always, that is, holiness unto the Lord, shall be always upon his forehead, our high priest, before God, holiness unto the Lord as our representative. Amen? And it shall be always upon his forehead that we, the redeemed, amen, that we may be accepted before the Lord. So what we have here in verse 38, you see the phrase that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. Well, the question, it begs the question, what holy things? What's he talking about? He's talking about all that we hallow in all of our holy gifts to the Lord. Let me put it in New Testament terms. It's put this way in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5. We are an holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, but they're only acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Amen. We offer those holy things. We offer those spiritual sacrifices to him, but they're only acceptable through the holiness of our high priest. All right. That Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things. You say, what does that mean? Well, you know, all our spiritual sacrifices, like when we pray, Aaron makes it holy before the Father. Amen. When we serve, our great high priest makes it acceptable. It makes it holy unto the Father. And when we testify, when we worship, all right? When we give, when we just out and praise God, when we witness to other people, when we sacrifice, and when we teach or work or preach or sing or try to live a holy life, those are spiritual sacrifices, but they're only acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, amen, through our great high priest, who is our holiness before the Father. Well, now we've got to make this point, and that is that the spiritual sacrifices that God demands and that God deserves are like this. God is perfectly holy. You're aware of that. But sometimes I need a refresher course. Amen. God is perfectly, there's none holy as the Lord, said Hannah in 1 Samuel chapter 2. And boy, she nailed it. Amen. There's none holy as the Lord. Perfectly, infinitely holy. And you know, when they got to the other side of the Red Sea, Miriam was leading as they were all singing, and she used this phrase that our God is glorious in holiness. Glorious in holiness. Totally separate from sin and totally above and beyond all others. He is holy, all right? Job twice said, the heavens are not clean in his sight, and the stars even are not pure in his sight. And listen, when sacrifices are made, even spiritual sacrifices made to God, he demands a perfect sacrifice. All right? He demands a perfect sacrifice. Look at Leviticus chapter 22, if you will, verses 17 through 22. I think this illustrates the point. The Lord, in verse 17 of Leviticus 22, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto Aaron and to his sons, and unto all the children of Israel, and say unto them, verse 18, whatsoever he be of the house of Israel or of the strangers in Israel that will offer his oblation for all his vows or for all his free will offerings, which they will offer unto the Lord for a burnt offering, ye shall offer at your own will. Look, it's a free will thing he's talking about, but it's a sacrifice unto the Lord. A male, get this now, without blemish of the beeves or of the sheep or of the goats. But whatsoever hath a blemish, that shall ye not offer, for it shall not be acceptable for you if it's got a blemish. And whoso offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a freewill offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. Whoa, do you see that? It shall be perfect in order to be accepted by God. There shall be no blemish therein. And then he states it negatively, blind or broken. If that animal is maimed or having a wen, a sore or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar of the Lord. It shall be perfect to be accepted. God demands a perfect sacrifice, and that requires utmost care. It requires even our spiritual sacrifices. It requires investigation. It requires inspection. It requires careful scrutiny. Amen? And I'm going to say God not only demands a perfect sacrifice, but God deserves a perfect sacrifice. There again in chapter 22 of Leviticus, but go down to the last few verses, verse 31 through 33. He just got done saying, I am the Lord. And then he says it again in verse 31. Therefore shall you keep my commandments and do them. What's the reason for it? I am the Lord. Jehovah, Yahweh. All right. I am the eternal God, the only living and true God. Neither shall ye profane my holy name, but I will be hallowed. I will be counted holy among the children of Israel. Why? I am the Lord, Jehovah. I am that I am, which hallow you, that brought you out of the land of Egypt to be your God. I am the Lord. God absolutely deserves perfect sacrifices. I am the Lord, verse 30, 31, and following. And that's in verse 32. I will be hallowed. I will be counted holy. And then he said, I hallow you. I'm the one that, in other words, God is saying, I'm the one that when I saved you, I set you apart for myself. Amen. For myself. And then in verse 33, he reminds them, I'm the one that brought you out of Egypt and Egyptian bondage. I brought you out. He redeemed me. He saved me. Why is that? In order to be your God. And certainly, we long to please our God. We long to please him. I am the Lord. He is absolutely the sovereign of the universe. There is none other. Well, God demands perfect sacrifices. He deserves perfect sacrifices. Even our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to him. Yet there is this problem. It's stated there in verse 38 of our text in Exodus 29:38, he said something about the iniquity of our holy things. The iniquity of our holy things. In other words, we must, just like in the Old Testament, we must examine and inspect our spiritual sacrifices. If we don't, we profane God's name. It is a case, we don't want to be like those that Jude warned about, that they turn the grace of God into lasciviousness, all right? If we don't examine and inspect our spiritual sacrifices, we profane God's name. Go to Malachi, if you will. We won't go many places, but we're trying to build the front porch so we can get up into the house right now, as one preacher said. Look at Malachi. I'll give you a hint. It's right before Matthew. Amen. All right. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. God speaks, and God says, A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If then I, the Lord God Almighty, if then I be a father, where is mine honor? If I be a master, where is my fear, the reverence and the worship that you show toward me, saith the Lord of hosts. Unto you, O priest, that despise my name. Whoa, they're in trouble. And you say, wherein have we despised thy name? He said, well, you just offer polluted bread upon mine altar. You don't even care about all the fungi and mold and everything. And ye say, wherein have we polluted thee? In that you say, by that you say, the table of the Lord is contemptible. Doesn't matter what we offer before the Lord. And if you offer a blind for sacrifice, the blind animal, is it not evil? And if you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? He said, I'll tell you what you do. Offer it now unto thy governor. Take it to the governor and present it to him. Will he be pleased with thee or accept thy person? Saith the Lord of hosts. God's making a point, isn't he? Verse 11. From the rising of the sun, even unto the going down of the same, God said, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. And in every place incense shall be offered unto my name, and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the heathen, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye, my people, ye have profaned it, in that ye say, the table of the Lord is polluted, it really doesn't matter, and the fruit thereof, and his meat is contemptible. Ye said also, behold, what a weariness is it, and ye have snuffed at it, saith the Lord of hosts. And ye brought that which was torn, and the lame, and the sick. Thus ye brought an offering. Should I accept this of your hand, saith the Lord? But cursed be the deceiver, which hath in his flock a male, and voweth and sacrificeth unto the Lord a corrupt thing. Why? For I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts, and my name is dreadful among the heathen. You can count it up, verse sometime on your own time, all right, verse 6 through 14. Seven times he announced himself as Yahweh Sabaoth. That is, I am Jehovah Sabaoth. That is, I am the Lord God over all the host of the universe. Amen. All mankind. Amen. And all of the creatures of heaven and everything that I created. I am a great king, saith the Lord of hosts. But he said that seven times just in those verses that we read. Well, I'm going to say God is making a point. If we don't examine and inspect our spiritual sacrifices that we offer to God, then we profane his name. And we don't dare offer what we know to be defective. Then we'd be a deceiver. Then we'd be a deceiver, all right? But even after we have examined and inspected our spiritual sacrifices that we offer up to God, again, I'm talking about praying, serving, testifying, worshiping, giving, praising, witnessing, sacrificing, teaching, working, singing, preaching, living holy. Amen. And you can add some other things. Spiritual sacrifices we offer up to him. Well, if we don't examine them, we are in real danger. But even when we do examine them, to the best of our ability, even then, hold on, buckle your seatbelt. Even then, our very best is tainted before holy, holy, holy God. It's defiled. It is defective. One godly man of old, William Jay, put it this way: my tears require to be washed in the blood of Christ. Whoa. My repentance needs to be repented of. My, my. You say, is that man going crazy or what? No, he's getting his in his right mind. Amen. We're talking about holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. Well, and then when we offer those spiritual sacrifices, oh yeah, when we offer those spiritual sacrifices, we absolutely are still conscious of, we're still conscious that that our best is tainted, that we're still conscious of the, one man put it, the odor of rotten flesh clinging to it as we offer it up to the Lord. We want it to be right. As far as we know, it's right. We're trying for it to be holy, amen, as we offer it up to the Lord, our spiritual sacrifices. But we're conscious of that odor of rotten flesh that clings to all the holy things or all the holy gifts that we offer to Him. All of those spiritual sacrifices still polluted by pride sometimes, unbelief sometimes, wrong motives sometimes, hypocrisy sometimes, or irreverence sometimes. All of my holy things that I offer and all my holy gifts to the Lord, they have iniquity. What? The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Jeremiah 17:9. What did the Apostle Paul say? I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that old man I used to be is still with me. And I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. All right. All my holy things have iniquity. They're not perfect. They're not acceptable before God in and of themselves. But rather, stay with me, don't leave yet, all right? But rather, they are defiled. They are deficient. They're defective. They're flawed. They're blemished. What does he say in Psalm 19 and verse 12? Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults that I'm not even conscious of. Amen? Boy, that's somebody serious with God when David said that. Amen? They're deficient, they're marred, they're polluted, they're tainted, they're impure. But wait a minute. Look, what's that glimmering on the brow of my high priest? Amen. What is that there? It says holiness unto the Lord. It's shining and shimmering and glowing, and it stands before God. It's the holiness of my high priest with which all those holy things that we offer are cleansed, are forgiven, and are made right because they're offered in His holiness before God. Amen. Wow. He is representing me. Amen. All right. Now, our great high priest, we say we pray in Jesus' name, and we serve in Jesus' name, and we offer up our spiritual sacrifices in Jesus' name, and He represents me before holy God and offers them up in His holiness, which is the holiness of God. Amen. So our sacrifices, our spiritual sacrifices are accepted in the real holiness of a better high priest. Amen. The real high priest, the Lord Jesus Christ. In themselves, they're defiled at best. But through Christ, they are absolutely perfect. Amen. And holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what I'm seeing in this passage. Our holy gifts, their iniquity is born and has been borne by our high priest, and then it is offered in his holiness to God. And by him, it's offered up in perfect, acceptable, shining, permanent, glittering holiness. So you go ahead and worship him, amen. You can go ahead, so when you pray, pray, amen. So when you know, he sanctifies our holy things. Doesn't mean we play fast and loose with God, or we're cheap about it and we really don't care. It just means that ultimately we're so grateful for the Lord Jesus Christ, our high priest. So here's the process. Let me give it to you again. You got a minute? All right. I guess you are. You do, because you hadn't left yet. All right. But I'm talking, what you do, this is the process. You examine your sacrifices, spiritual sacrifices you offer up to God with care and sincerity. Listen, just because they knew that the high priest was going to bear the iniquity of their holy things in the Old Testament, that didn't mean that they could be careless and cheap and loose with their sacrifices. No. Offer him the best. Amen. Offer him the best. But then realize and know it's still tainted. It's wretched. It's unacceptable in itself, tainted by a cold, wandering, deceitful, crooked heart. And with that, be humbled. Be humbled. And with that, turn your eyes upon Jesus. With that, then look at the high priest and look at his mitre and that gold plate gleaming there, holiness to the Lord in your behalf. You turn your eyes upon Jesus, that perfect, infinite, eternal, immutable, acceptable holiness before God. And just like, be humbled, be heartened, amen. Take heart. That's what it amounts to. It's his holiness that they may be, that all of our holy gifts may be accepted before God, always representing us before the Father, ever interceding in our behalf. And the purpose of this is not to frustrate us and say, well, I guess I can't do anything, please God. Huh? Can you see somebody that they walk out and that's their take home? Oh my, no, you missed it altogether. It's not to frustrate us and say, I can't do anything for God, but rather it's to prostrate us. Amen? To put us down on our faces in order to magnify the Lord Jesus Christ, our representative before the Father. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Amen. That know what they are and know where they are. And the purpose is not to promote looseness, but liberty. It means we're free. It's not to produce licentiousness, but love. And you can mark it down. It is not to produce a license to sin, but liberty to serve and to shout, amen, and to praise God and know that through Jesus Christ, these spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God. But always remember it's through him, amen, and always exalt the Savior. It's not to produce carelessness. Oh, boy. No, this is not a license to sin. It's not to produce carelessness, but consecration to the one who so loves us and so rightly, perfectly represents us with his infinite holiness before the Father. It is not to create discouragement, but to create encouragement. Now, what the devil says when you bring your spiritual sacrifices to God, he says, stop right there. You can just quit. You give it up. Red light. It's unacceptable. Just give up. It's no good. It is justified. It's rejected. And he stays on that. He stays on that and doesn't tell you everything. Has he ever said that to you? Yeah, you can't do any good. And what you do, you know, it won't be, you've really got this problem and that problem and the other problem. And you know what I'm talking about? What you do, he said, that's defiled, it's rejected. Here's what you do. When I was a kid, I sent off for one of those paperback books that it didn't just have judo, but it had jujitsu. It had karate, it had savate, it had taekwondo. I mean, it's the most valuable little paperback book in the world. Yeah, I probably paid for it like that too. I don't remember. But I got that thing, and I don't remember a thing about it except this one judo move. Come here, Brother Greg. Come here, Brother Greg. Amen. All right? Now, we're going to do this in slow motion just to save his life. Just to save his life, all right? I got my black belt. Amen. All right. Now, you come at me like you're going to attack me very slowly, very slowly. I don't want to hurt you, see? I don't want to hurt you. You're coming at me very slowly like that, all right? But you see, he's got a lot of momentum coming at me. You weigh 100 and none of your business pounds at least, all right? But all that momentum is coming at me, and he's going to flatten me. What I do, I take that momentum, and what am I going to do? I'm going to use that momentum and just keep him going on his way. I'm going to flip him, amen? Did you see Brother Greg go? You got to look real fast. It happened real fast. You okay, brother?
I'm okay.
Okay, you can go sit down. Thank you, brother. Amen. I'm talking, what you do is you use judo on the devil. Yeah, you agree with him. You say, you're exactly right. It's defiled. It's not acceptable. I can't produce anything that really would be perfect before God and acceptable to God. But let me tell you, Mr. Devil, God says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. God said, bring it on. God said, green light, green light, green light. Go ahead and live holy. Go ahead and pray. Go ahead and serve. Go ahead and obey and give and serve and keep your sins confessed and make those U-turns when you have to make those U-turns. Pray. Praise me, worship me, testify for my glory, sacrifice and bring that worship on. God said, I want it. He calls for it. Amen. If you haven't picked that up in the Bible, you just hadn't been reading your Bible. God wants us to worship him, to honor him, to fear him. Amen. Glorify him and serve him. But remember, all those spiritual sacrifices are acceptable to God through Jesus Christ, our holiness. You do it for Jesus' sake. And God said, for Jesus' sake and in his name, I will accept it. Amen. You can just mark it down. God said, don't hesitate any longer. Just bring it on. It does count. God is pleased. It is acceptable to the Lord. Keep on keeping on. Amen. You know what this does? This destroys my pride. It destroys my pride. And I don't know about you, but I need it destroyed about 6 or 8 times a day at least. Yeah. Amen. It destroys my pride. Forget proud thoughts. Christ is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Otherwise, it would be a hopeless situation. But this destroys my pride because all the glory goes to the Lord Jesus, my high priest. Forget proud thoughts. Your best is polluted by old self. It's polluted by flesh, by sin, and it is nothing but a problem. But at the same time, knowing what a high priest I got with perfect holiness, who bears the iniquity of my holy things, amen, and who offers them up in perfect holiness before the Father, this demands my praise, amen. Just exalt him. He's my holiness before God. Realize he's the one. All glory to the Lord Jesus. He bears the iniquity of our holy things. And he's the one whose holiness is, his holiness unto the Lord is infinite. and it's eternally perfect and acceptable to the Father. He's the one who makes all our spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. As I said, that destroys my pride, but it puts the glory right back where it belongs to Him. Amen. Just like when He saved me. It was 100% grace. He wouldn't save me any other way. By the way, let me say this for anybody that's here lost tonight. There's a principle here that you need to consider. I mean, voices say, no, you can't come to Christ. Your repentance won't be thorough enough. Or you're not sincere enough. Or you're not really broken enough. Or your faith won't be real. But God is saying, come, bring your worship to the foot of the cross as a lost sinner. Come, bring your helpless plea and your repentance and your faith in Christ, and I'll save you. I'll count you holy, not because you said it just right, not because you offered everything just right, but rather for Jesus' sake. I'll save you. Amen. He'll be your holiness through eternity. Amen. Before the Father. And look at that golden plate. I tell you, it has a strange attraction to your heart, saying, here's the holiness I need so that I'm ready to die. Here's the holiness so that I'll be right with God. It's Him. It's Him. It's Him. Amen? It's His holiness that you might be accepted in the Beloved. Amen? That's what Paul said, accepted in the Beloved, in the Lord Jesus Christ. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Amen. And he'll bear the iniquity. Amen. He's borne it for us already at Calvary. Right now, his holiness in the presence of the Father in your behalf. That's why he's able also to save you to the uttermost, purely by virtue of himself in his infinite holiness, who became fully man and while remaining fully God. Amen. And bled and died to pay your sin debt in full. But on the other hand, child of God, maybe you've let the devil cripple you. You don't have to do it any longer. Amen. It's his holiness. You come in Jesus' name. Amen. And offer up those spiritual sacrifices. And God said they're perfect through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Now, our Father, we ask you to work in the hearts, to understand, to embrace this truth. I pray that you'll meet those needs. Maybe some of your children just need to fall in the altar and say, oh God, thank you. And just accept the liberty that's theirs as they go forward as Christians, not to sin, but to glorify you and serve you every way they can, to offer up spiritual sacrifices because of our wonderful great high priest. And I pray that, Lord, if there's someone here tonight that has let the devil lie to them, Lord, that they'll come to you and say, God, I've listened to his lies long enough. You've given me a green light in Jesus' name, and I'm coming to you now, and I'm giving myself up to you. Then I pray for that soul that may be here tonight without Christ, lost, going out into eternity without hope, finally to scream in the charred walls of the damned in a burning hell. But I pray you'll help them to see his holiness who died for them. And as his arms opened and said, him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Lord, I pray you'll have your way in every heart, that you'll heal the wounded, that you'll, Lord, that you'll restore the backslider, that you will encourage the saint of God to worship and to praise you and to seek you and approach you like never before, and to be that witness you mean for him to be, and to pray and to pray and to pray and to know that you hear as we come in Jesus' name. In his name we pray. Have your way, please, Father. Amen.
Let's stand together.